We're about to take a journey to India's desert state of Rajasthan. Thousands of people have made this same journey over the last couple of days. Their destination is the city of Jaipur. That city has been hosting what many now consider one of the world's most colorful annual gatherings of writers and thinkers. It's called the Jaipur Literature Festival. NPR's correspondent in India, Philip Reeves, went along too.
Nearly 300 years have elapsed since this city, Jaipur, was built by a Maharaja, an Indian king. Back then, it was a thriving oasis. It still is.
It's a tremendously colorful place. It is a place of palaces, forts on every hilltop, little architectural marvels of towers, cupolas, temples.
Navtesh Sana is an Indian diplomat and novelist.
You have the sandy desert, and against that you have these brilliant colors of the clothes people wear, the pink turbans and the orange dresses of the women and the parrot green saddles of the camels.
They call Jaipur the Pink City because so many of its buildings have a pinkish hue. The thousands who flocked to the city's literature festival this year wound up here, in the grounds of a palace. Author and historian William Dalrymple is the festival's co-director.
The property that we have the festival in is called Diggi Palace, and by Rajasthani standards, Diggi is not a grand palace. I mean, it's a mere three courtyards, but what it does have is these gorgeous lawns, and inside peacocks, parrots, the stables at the back with horses. And, I mean, it's a gorgeous space. And for some reason, the configuration of the buildings and the lawns just gives it an incredible buzz.
There was none of this kind of buzz when the festival started 5 years ago. Back then, only 16 people took part. This year, the festival pulled one Nobel laureate, two Booker Prize winners, and a clutch of people with Pulitzers. Dalrymple again.
No, I mean, people are very surprised by this. I mean, I think they're surprised by the enthusiasm. We have huge numbers of school kids turning up with, you know, preteens with autograph books, through to grand literary figures, through industrialists, unpublished poets from Bihar, Bengal political activists, South Delhi aspiring novelists, expats returning from New York and London. They're all here.
They're all here, and they're all talking about everything, from Afghanistan and Tibet to the art of writing.
I do have some continuity problems in that people occasionally write to me and point out that there's some inconsistency.
I'm Alexander McCall-Smith. I'm a writer. I am the author of the number one ladies detective agency series of books, which is set in Botswana, and I'm the author of a number of other series of books, principally set in Scotland.
McCall-Smith's worried about what's happening to the English language.
It's an awful pity that in many English-speaking countries, people are not being taught their own grammar. So we've got lots and lots of people who don't know what a noun is. Here in India, they teach grammar, they learn grammar, and I think there's just a greater pride in the use of vivid, attractive English.
Pragya, P-R-A-G-Y-A.
Ishita, I-S-H-I-T-A.
Shraddha, S-H-R-A-D-H-A. Karishma, K-A-R-I-S-H-M-A.
Dhani, D-H-A-N-I.
These kids like their names to be spelt correctly. Accuracy matters to autograph hunters. They're prowling the palace grounds. For them, this is like Oscars night. There are some big names around. Louis de Bernier, Claire Tomalin, Ashok Vajpayee. Not to mention the editor and author Tina Brown, and also the queen of the Himalayan kingdom of Bhutan. The girls are 16. They know their subject.
Who are your favourite Indian authors?
Indian authors would be Vikram Seth, Chetan Bhagat, Anuja Chauhan,
Anita Desai, Kiran Desai, Amitabh Ghosh,
Arundhati Roy.
I mean, you guys are amazing. A lot of kids around the world would not be able to reel off a list of authors.
We can, because we read a lot.
Because a country like India, where the linguistic heritage is so rich, where you have 22 languages which go back more than 2,000 to 3,000 years with their own developed vocabulary, that country cannot become a nation of linguistic half-castes.
Hundreds of people are crammed into a tent, so many that they're spilling out of the doors. They're listening to the Indian author Pavan Varma talk about a key topic here, the threat to India's traditional languages posed by English.
I believe English is a global language and Indians must learn it in order to interface with the globalizing world. I am saying that we have everything to gain if, in addition to English, we begin once again to give the respect to our own languages and take pride in the fact that we know them and speak them well.
This is very cool.
Back in the palace grounds, the young autograph hunters have pounced on a fairly obscure passing writer. The author seems delighted by the attention. That's how the writers here usually react, say the girls.
No, they're quite friendly. Like, they talk to you properly and they give you answers.
Is that what you found?
Yeah, with most of them.
Most of them.
Most
not
of them.
All.
Not all.
You've been snubbed.
Yes.
Are you going to tell me who snubbed you?
No.
In a nearby tent, the cooks are making lunch for everyone. Dalrymple says no one gets special treatment at the festival, no matter how famous they are.
We have a principle that there is no VIP enclosure, there is no red ropes. You mix with everyone, you eat on a first-come, first-served basis, all this kind of stuff. I mean, and people love it here. This is a very hierarchical country. And to have one small space where everyone is equal and everything is free is a wonderful thing.
Equality and freedom may be one reason for coming to Jaipur, to talk and listen, to jam and dance. Namita Gokhale, an author and festival co-director, has another theory about why so many have come so far for an event which is, after all, mostly just about books.
There are so many brilliant young and old and middle-aged people across India who are really tired of the trivialization of things. This festival proves that there are a lot of very, very, very bright Indians and other very bright people from around the world who want a relief from the banal stupidity that surrounds a lot of what they read in magazines or they see in television sets.
Philip Reeves, NPR News.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Ari Shapiro.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.